Nobody talks. Nobody talks. Nobody talks.
This is the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast.
You guys made a jingle.
I did not.
We made a jingle. Yes.
We made a jingle.
Mendy. Well, what up, everybody? It's IJ Isaac. Isaac Jacob, assistant deputy to Avery here. Back on the Shidduch podcast. How is everyone doing today? Episode 81, Food, Family, and Guilt. We're here pontificating and discussing and steiging with Chef Mendy Wolf. Mendy, what's up, holy brother? How are you doing? How are you? How's your first podcast going?
It's the longest applause I've ever gotten for anything.
Well,
for very who are
you?
Action.
Well, you know what? Your clientele's from Jews, and I understand.
I've gotten applause on the job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Those are the best jobs. Mm. But I would say I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty well tonight.
Thank you. Well,
thank you.
Avery, how are you doing, by the way? What's going
I'm
on?
I'm
going
to feign enthusiasm.
What's going on with you?
I'm going to feign enthusiasm for this podcast. I'm so excited
Amazing.
To be here. Wow.
I'm so flattered.
So much.
I'm so flattered.
Well, Mendy's exciting. I'm excited to see Mendy.
Thank you so much.
We are. It's funny how we all met.
Yeah, I know. It is funny that we just met in the parking lot.
This was before.
We met. Yeah. We did an event.
I met you at Begun.
Well, we
had Begun, right. Actually, right before. No, right before, right.
Met you at Mosaic.
So we all did a, basically, Avery, you did a Shidduch event. Mendy hired.
I was going back and forth about maybe I was going to grill the whole time or maybe not.
And right before then.
I hosted.
Right before then, I think we met you at Benny's.
Right.
At Benny's. Broker Ben. Wait a second. It's Ben now? You ever heard of this thing? Like people get married, they have a kid, and then they move into a community and they go, my name's Ben, not Benny.
Simple.
And then it goes to Mr. last name.
So you go into the barbershop and you ask for a dad haircut.
Like dad haircut. Well, my barber doesn't speak any English, so that's true story.
I can see this.
His name's Junior. Like, Junior. No, I talked to him in the app.
Was he one of the ones that came up from Texas?
You want
Greg Abbott?
Yes, that is.
Yes, right?
Isaac, did you want him to write that on the back?
What is written on the back?
No habla.
Oh, in my hair. Look at that. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. How did that happen? So in HBO Sopranos, phenomenal depiction, rendition of Italian-American life. Perhaps the most relatable aspect of the show, The Sopranos, that was on for, 7 years, 8 years, was literally the number one show in the entire world, at least American. People say it's like the quintessential television show. That's what TV is.
Critically acclaimed.
I love it. Oh, my God. Mendy, what are you killing me over here?
Starting this fall, Mendy Wolf takes on The Sopranos.
That's it. Yeah, seriously.
Homework cooking.
But, it's not such an important part about the show, but about this show, at least, this podcast.
It's about the life, yeah.
The show depicts all things about food, eating, cuisine. Avery and I was thinking, a.k.a. I was thinking, what is the role of food in the Jewish community? What does it mean to does it mean more to our community than others? And I think that's kind of like a little topic there, and we can get into it. And I know that I said, Avery, who do we know? And then we knew Chef Boyardee, but he wasn't available. You know, the can just didn't talk back.
Yeah.
We threw it against the wall.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. And then we knew this other chef, and then we were like, you. That's
what
it.
Who is other chef?
The other chef was this very attractive young lady whose shidduch resume just stuck out to us. And bro, no hard feelings. Now, why is that, by the way? Why is it like I never met like a very like a like, in the shidduch verse, that's what we're rebranding it to be. In the shidduch verse, literally, you have people who they're attractive girls. I find them to be like nurses, not nurses anymore, but like makeup artists, hair, maybe an attorney, right? And then a guy, what's like a good looking guy job? I don't know, a good looking giant guy job, like kind of Wall Street, something like that. So for it's never a chef. I've like all the chefs I've gotten, all the female or Jewish.
I could tell
like
you the
least attractive.
Want to know
girls.
The ugly guy jobs? Ugly guy jobs include mashgiach, Rebbe's assistant.
Rebbe's assistant. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
Guy who does youth groups in shul.
What job do you have? Guy. Oh well, that's ugly guys too.
Yeah, no, I do.
I will tell you that from my perspective. Wearing clothing to on a job or not even on a job.
Yeah.
I used to wear nice shirt, nice blazer.
Button
nice
down shirt.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to dress for business. I was in sales.
Oh, and, get out of here.
Yeah, I was in sales for a bunch of years. And once I started chefing, I completely changed my look.
Wow.
It's just, I don't have time or patience.
It became casual. Like it's a thing.
It's just a casual life. Being a chef is a casual life in some ways because you have to.
That's cool.
Well, it's intense life. It depends what line of business you're in, but. There's a casualness to it because to be a chef, you have to be extremely creative.
Yes.
You have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to not be someone who's bogged down with a tiny little detail. So if you're worried on a regular basis that your clothing is going to get tiny dirty here, tiny dirty there, if you're worried about which way you look, it's just
over.
Not your personality to be a chef. Now, there are chefs out there that are the exception. There are.
Such as?
There are.
Are there any?
No one that I know. All the from ones I know. Dress down,
Everyone's dressed down.
Now, yeah, and the guys who wear white shirt, it's like they're not getting a high end shirt. They're not getting crazy nice pants.
Okay, I hear that.
I did. I worked for a chef, Saul Roth. He owns. He used to do catering by Michael Schick. So we used to do that, and that was the first time I saw. That was the first time I saw, like a frum
naked
guy
man.
Dress up.
What?
No, from guy dress
second
up.
Time.
That's the first time. Wow. Like from guy dress up is like a legit chef.
Oh.
And I almost fell over my seat. It was Pesach. I don't know, 2000.
Explain the attire. What was he wearing? A hat?
He was wearing the chef hat.
Long white.
I'm just going to say everything chef. Chef hat.
You're missing.
Chef jacket. Chef pants. Chef shoes.
You are missing.
Was I supposed to come
dress up? No, you didn't have.
The preeminent chef of our ages. Chef Yo.
Chef Yo. That guy was great.
Restaurant night with Chef Yo in Camp Dora Golding.
He was fantastic.
Was our chef, cook, okay. chef, whatever you want to call it.
Camp Dora Golding was pretty high end over there. I'm sure you guys had great food.
Oh, yes.
It actually wasn't bad for camp food, but after 5 to 10 years of eating it, you get sick.
I went to camp.
What I would give for camp food again?
Oh yeah.
I'll take it.
No question.
I loved how free it was.
No, literally,
it's the memories. It's camp memories.
I don't remember. I was in I got lost one day in Borough Park, and I just ended up stumbling into this Hasidus joint. It was like the How I Met Your Mother episode of Marshall and the Greatest Burger, and literally. They had you. Do you watch that? Do you watch that show?
Watch How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
I don't remember that exactly.
So Regis Philbin was in that one because Regis is in there and basically, whatever. Marshall's going on to corporate America and he just wants he remembers the first day he came to New York. He remembers this burger. So basically, what happened to me was, I was I got fired, and I was just ended up in Borough Park one day, and I just stumbled into this restaurant and they literally were serving. I can't remember if it was spaghetti or mac and cheese, but let's say it was spaghetti. And I was like, this is the spaghetti I had when I was in first grade in Beth Jacob, Beth Mary, a hole in the wall of yeshiva. And I'm like, I bought the whole place out. And when I went back, it was the store wasn't even there. It was literally the tale of Abraham in the desert. And it was really angel. It was Malachim. It wasn't. Isn't that a magical thing, Avery?
Just a figment of your imagination.
It is magical.
It probably was.
Speaking of spaghetti, by the way, to this day, I still eat a certain type of spaghetti that I buy from Mechel's.
Ooh.
Every time I go to Mechel's, you ever heard of Mechel's?
Never heard of it.
I have.
It's a Heimish.
I have heard of Mechel's.
Oily place.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Mechie's.
So every once in a while, I'm looking to clog my arteries. It's just a craving I have. So I go get a schnitzel sandwich from there. By the way, this is what happens after jobs. I work a job. I'm cooking high-end food. I'm cooking 4-course dinners. Right after schnitzel sandwich or takeout.
Oh my god!
Never do you eat? Do you eat on the job? Are you allowed to eat on the job?
I munch on the job, but by the time I'm finished, I'm just ready to get out. I'm tired and I'm just ready to get out.
Even if it's getting out, driving down to some kosher joint and just ordering food and eating in your car.
That's
better
than staying there. Yeah. And I get this spaghetti, this oily spaghetti, this tomato sauce. That's I don't know. I had it first when I was six, seven years old.
When they say Chef Mendy, we're finished, and you go. What do you want me to do with the leftovers?
Yeah, take it for yourself. Is that it? Do you take that? Or what, do you donate to Tim Shay Shabbos? What's
the
deal?
I don't ask them what to do with the leftovers. I leave it there, and nice, I would bye-bye. Say that I'm usually pretty good on amounts. There's not a ton of leftovers when I'm done. Mm. And thank God people eat the food. People like the food.
It's good planning.
I would say the jobs where we have a lot of leftovers are the traveling jobs.
Why do you think no, this is a shidduch podcast, okay? Why do you think that cooking, chefing, culinary, that life, catering, I was stepping on your wire. It's catering, like, it took off. I got the last few years of the old shidduch system.
Right.
Where you would fax in your resume, you would meet the shadchan. You remember the old days. And now it's obviously WhatsApp and Instagram, and it's everything so fast. Email is like yesterday already.
Oh, no one emails.
No one even emails. Right. I see that. Avery, I told you nobody emails. Okay, so stop. Every time I say, Avery, you told me you meet some cute girls, and I say, set me up with them. And they go, I emailed. They'll be emailing you. I said, nobody emails. He says, don't worry. Now I know. Basically, there's no email, right? There's no email coming in.
Avery, you're here as a punching bag.
Okay. It's all right. His last day came from Truth Social, so don't. Just leave him out. That's fine.
Oh, my God. Okay. That was a good. Any girls over there on Truth Social?
Not many.
No. But seriously.
What's the deal? Ask me about the shift.
So this is something I talk about a lot. I talk about the shift a lot. I love talking about the shift. There's the way it works in the kosher industry is people always want bigger and better. There's usually we're slightly behind on the food aspect. We're slightly behind on the kosher world. Obviously, I can't tell you exactly. Thank God I've never had not kosher. There was one drive up from Florida. I was driving some other employees.
Bring this a little closer.
I was driving some other employees on a job back from Florida, and we stopped at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they had this bucket of chicken. I'm sitting in this car, and I literally went an hour out of my way just so I could go get Chinese food. So I did not have to be sitting next to a bucket of chicken.
Oh, my God. We're in, like, Georgia?
It was smack in the middle of nowhere, but...
Oh, my God.
You asked me about the shift.
So the shift.
People want bigger and better. People always want to try the next flavor, the next new thing. If you look at the meats that we buy, the cuts have not changed since meat has been being mass-produced, okay? The cuts have not
now
changed.
You tell me.
What's the difference is that they're packaging it differently. They're calling it other things. Kosher filet mignon is the center of a rib steak. That's basically what it is. Now, they take a great cut, and they take good meat. But everyone's figuring out how to repackage things, rebrand things. So then what happens is you want bigger and better. So COVID came at the perfect time. There were private chefs beforehand, before COVID. But what COVID did is it made it a popular thing. All of a sudden, everyone started hearing about private chefs. It used to be what? You remember when sushi started? You remember sushi by...
Oh, my God, I remember.
Carving stations.
I remember.
And the next thing, private chefs. We're at the next stage in the firm market, going above and beyond. Now, I'm in the industry, and I kind of bought into it, but it does... Like, I always think, would I hire me if I was making a simcha? I don't know. I hope I wouldn't. I talk about how I don't like to spend that type of money. Even if I had it, I wouldn't spend it, whatever. But I don't know. Listen, it's pretty dang
money,
to have a private chef. It's pretty awesome to have a private
chef. But I think it's also a financial... It is a budget. Sometimes it could be an affordable alternative.
So here's
then going to a shul, renting a whole thing out, having the kid. You can just say, look, come to my house. We have a nice house. Right. Come cook. You can make a little bar mitzvah, not a wedding, but like a little bar mitzvah, a little fam, 60th birthday.
So COVID made that popular. And it did. COVID completely changed it. But you have different classes of people hiring a private chef. You have a guy like, I'm just throwing a name, a guy like Shiner, right? Who's going to take you to Morocco, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have people who want to just be a little better, or a little classier. And then you have the people who are doing it for convenience or for budgeting reasons, trying to figure out where they want to spend their money.
The entire town of Baltimore. The entire city.
On a budget of convenience.
Yeah. Basically.
Just throw Baltimore under the bus.
All Baltimore.
One fell swoop.
Means
so well. most of my clients.
And me, I'm included with them. So.
You wish you had a private
most of my
chef
clients are like Baltimore, I guess. In that case, most of my clients are hiring me because they it's either convenience or they really just want to try better food. They're not most of them are not trying to outdo their neighbors.
Oh, interesting.
Some of them are.
Yeah, I like that. I like that actually. Yeah.
And then there are just people who just have money to spend, and they just want a cool experience.
It's funny. I know with my parents, right? Their methodology, their way of thinking is, I saw that the Weinsteins had, or is divorced. Uh-huh. What are we going to get? So they have to like one up. That's all they think about. They don't think about anything else.
Hors d'oeuvres.
There are one ups.
They think, yeah. The Tavern Blatt's had chicken. We're going to have meat.
We did the charcuterie board.
I've had people say that.
It's not a table. It's not a board anymore. It's a table.
I've had people say it's a room now. I've had people say
it
to me, you remember you did this event? I want like that, but I want a little better.
I want more of this. How often do you get that? Probably not too often, honestly.
And I'm grateful that my clients are the type of people who aren't that much like that, because I enjoy cooking for them. For me to cook for somebody, when I walk into the kitchen, I turn on the music. Keep a few things. I turn on the music. I pull out my knives, and I turn on all the lights and open all the window shades.
Sound like Hannibal Lecter.
And then I go get the tarp from my car.
Oh, he does do that. I never saw. I've seen all the world renowned.
His name is Billy, the killer in the movie.
I've seen all the big movies, and I can't see that one. It's just too much.
I did not watch it, but I get the joke.
How do you eat after that?
Tastes pretty good, honestly.
Let me ask you, is this affordable for a first date, a second date? Is it worth it?
Depends what type.
I mean, it's expensive now.
If someone came to me for a first date, I would be like,
I never even met the girl.
Wait till you're, at least 6-7 dates and minimum. People do this for a proposal.
Yeah.
I did a proposal. But
so what is that? Don't tell me. What is that proposal?
A proposal?
I'm saying by hiring you. Or a private chat.
I mean, it lends a different atmosphere because a proposal is personal, right? Now, for some reason, proposals are very popular over food. At the end of a meal. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into this, but food is so emotional. Food is so emotional. So you have amazing food, and then you have a proposal, and you want to know what goes into it?
So you're saying first thing is you're like, if you do something like this, me, you could say IJ.
Yeah, don't spend this type of money on a girl.
This is like ten. I'll take the money.
I'll take the money very, very gladly. But please don't.
You're gonna consult.
Please don't do it.
But it's magical. Like, you understand. You get one chance.
You're okay setting that standard.
You're a dater. Are you willing to tell us?
You tell someone to go to Tabernacle first date.
Let's see, Tabernacle.
Tabernacle. And order the most expensive things on the menu. First date.
Well, what if you had no other option? That's always a possibility.
So during COVID, fine. But
right. During COVID, they just opened up. They're like, we're a nursing home. It's okay. We can open up.
It is tough in Manhattan to find kosher food. It is.
Because it's owned by Centers Healthcare, basically, or whatever. We love them.
I have a family member who's very involved there.
I went one time. It was so many influencers, and then Avery was there, and I was like, "What are you doing here? Avery, get out of here!"
Yeah,
I was there also. Actually, I wasn't there with you.
I was not. I never been there.
I was there with my other job, my other people.
Crazy.
There's always that.
What other people? You know? Let's hear about this.
My family from Mexico. My boss wanted to go. The day job, and he's we're going to a client, sir, and it ended up being Tabernacle. And we just checked around the phones, and he's literally 30 seconds. All right, let's go sit down. Let's eat. Let's order.
Nice.
And it was me, him, and two other guys.
How was the food? I have not been.
So I'm very picky. Everything was okay. Everything was, I would say, I ordered that Asian bowl, and you stick stuff in it.
Poke bowl?
No.
The Mushu Nintendo 64.
They have this dish there, this signature dish. And you poo-poo platter. I don't know, something like that. So I ordered like this thing, thinking like I'm getting meat and I'm not there on a shidduch date, so I'm gonna go big, and my boss is paying.
You got some chicken nuggets.
Oh my god, they give you like a little strip of meat, and the rest is like fillers.
Go
like
home.
Vegetables and onions, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? We're like dipping it in. And
come
anyway,
for meat?
I would honestly, I think 3, 4, 5 dates. I mean, definitely not the 1, 2, 3.
Right. So don't hire a private chef first date.
I wouldn't hire. Okay. So first date, Avery, you hear that? No first date.
Also, don't go on a date with a private chef to a nice restaurant.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know any females in this business?
All they do is talk about the food. No. Don't go with me.
A counterpart.
Don't go with a counterpart chef.
Somebody who is in the chef industry.
No.
The culinary industry.
No, I mean, don't go with a private chef to a restaurant.
Ever.
A high-end restaurant.
Nothing to do with dating.
They're just critiquing. I know me. I have such a hard time going to high-end
It's called going to a restaurant with Jews. It has nothing to do with
I
being
get very
a
Jewish.
Chef.
I get very Jewish when I'm in a high-end restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All of a sudden you care about the waiter service as if you could even, lucky even have a waiter. Jeez. We're freaking lucky to be alive. Kidding me? Waiter service? I eat tuna and spaghetti every night. I'm worried about the waiter service.
Tell us about gratitude.
Go ahead. Please.
Have some gratitude, Avery.
I will. I will.
Is that a thing? Like, I heard...
Be grateful.
Yes.
I heard once from a girl, I was asking her. I asked them. I pull out a survey after I go on these dates because I've been going out a little bit more
out
recently.
A survey after a date?
No, not a whole hour.
Is this after the first date or second date?
If they say no, I'll message them. I'll message them and I will say...
Is this after no
or
yes?
This is after the no.
After a no. You pull out a survey and
I'll
call
pull out
girls?
A survey. Yeah, I'll send them. I'll just say, hey, I'm just curious. Look, we didn't work out. It's okay.
Very impressive, actually.
What do you... what would you say?
See,
what can I make myself
attractive? You should
attractive.
See before the date. He has a
they
little
get
captcha.
Flattered.
They have a captcha. They look at the numbers. Can you see this bus?
I am not a robot.
Right.
I am not a robot. Actually, most of them are robots. That's the truth. Anyway, okay, that button there over there. No, because we're going to have to move on to the next topic. But basically,
you should Avery the button.
I do that.
I don't want
I'm telling you right now, because Avery knows I restarted my shidduch journey. I spent 15 months in the shidduch underworld.
Underworld?
Yeah,
yeah.
The underworld.
What's
yeah.
a shidduch underworld?
It looks like a 1957 jalopy.
A jalopy, right. No, it's basically, think about it. Think about all those girls you might have gone out with, you used to go out with. Like, where did they end up? Where did the guys, where did the ex-base Yaakov guy, the ex-base Yaakov girls and the ex-Yeshiva Bachers go? There's an underworld out there.
Yeah,
I think I saw you at a party.
It's not an underworld. It's
that's what I reference
it. It's a completely different world now.
No shidduchim. No shadchan. There's no shadchan.
There's no shadchan.
It's not shidduchim, but I'll call it the shidduch.
People are open to
you know?
Suggestions, but it's more, listen, we're both adults. Let's get each other's phone numbers. Let's set up the date. Let's meet each other.
But I don't know.
It doesn't work out.
Mandy,
I was on a date with a girl. I was on a date with a girl. And halfway through the date, it was the second date, I realized this girl's just not for me. We were having a nice time talking to each other. It was a very just, she was a nice person to get to
you
know.
Knew.
And I said halfway through, I basically said, listen, I'm just being real. Like, I'm not looking to waste your time. So if you want to go home, I'm happy to go home. But we were planning on going and getting drinks after we got food. And I said, do you still want to go get drinks? Still just schmooze and finish up the date? She said, sure, let's go drinks. We ended up schmoozing. And similar to what you're talking about, I ended up asking her a couple of questions that I would not have asked on a second date. Now, things I was curious about or things that I was curious that she reacted to, you know, things that I had shared with her.
Mm.
I
love
that. I can't hear
that. That's called being vulnerable and opening up, which is not what people do in the shit-up world, or not generally not what we are accustomed to doing or how dating.
I've been starting to tell, like at singles events, like I'll tell a girl if it's calls for it, if her repertoire is there, or if my persona's feeling it, I'll say, oh, you're very attractive. What are you doing here? You should be married.
You got the pickup lines, huh?
Yeah, and.
And she's like, I am married.
I am.
And they go, oh, no.
But it kind of like opens up this window because I feel like when you're from Orthodox Jew and whether you're like from or just modern, like you're kind of, you're really trying to like respect the women. You're trying to respect them. You are respecting them, but you're trying like in the frumkite world where like you don't touch them. You kind of keep a distance. You're very modest. And what's on TV is different. You got to be cool. You got to be like, yo, what's
right,
good?
So it's trying to find some sort of happy medium.
So trying to find the medium. Trying to find the middle ground.
I would say, first of all, I'm not the pro on shidduchim. I spent a very short time in the shidduch world.
Ooh.
I married the second girl I did it in shidduchim.
Wow. Mazel tov.
It didn't work out, and 5 years later,
you're with us. You're with holy brothers right here.
You guys are divorced?
No, we're soon from each other.
From
no,
each
kidding.
Other.
I'm kidding. You know, we did an episode. He's got to be. I got a marriage proposal
divorced.
Turned down.
No, murder.
I'm so
killed her. Kidding. No, I didn't care.
You're a widow. He's a widow. He's
widower.
A widow.
Widower. I'm sorry. I didn't do it.
No, I'm kidding. No,
I'm kidding around.
What the hell is going on? Have you guys been married before?
No, we both
neither
have not. I have not been. I know. Have you been married, Avery?
I paid a lot in taxes. So
I'm
married.
Not talking about alimony or child support. Have you been married?
No. Never been married. Single.
You can clearly tell that we're single.
You guys are so single. You guys are so single.
You can't hear the.
You guys have never been married.
No, I've never. No, never.
You're way too neat to have been divorced.
Oh, yeah, I am actually really neat. Yeah. I'm neat also. Like, I'm neat. No, I'm saying, like, once, you're a neat guy.
Once guys get divorced, it's hard to keep the standards of not cleanliness, but keep your life in order as you get used to doing it with someone else, to living that life with someone else.
You just become a mess. Is what you're saying? Mentally, you just veg out.
I mean, I know my mood based on if my laundry is folded and my bed's made.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay. Here's the thing, by the way. Here's, I think, a thing I kind of like really got more familiar with in the shidduch underworld was like the levels of keeping kosher. I didn't realize there's a level thing. Like, in the past, shadchanim have actually reached out and said, so tell me about your frumkeit. I say, oh, I'm like, I learn in yeshiva. Not now. I don't do this now, but I learned in yeshiva, and I'm thinking of the most chumrah stuff, the most chumrah dick stuff. And literally, I kind of like always forgot to be like, yeah, like I'm SS, SK, SS, I don't know, whatever the S's are. And
tell him your first kiss.
I realized, like, tell him my curse.
Your first kiss was with the mezuzah.
Actually, it was with Sippy. I was six. Sippy? I was four. She was six. No, I was five. She was seven. No, she was six, actually.
Do you go and out now with, do you still go out with older girls?
He did, yeah, right? Older girls.
Till they turn 25. He and Leo. He
messed me up. I was on my parents' bed, actually. It's an interesting story.
Leo DiCaprio was like a real shit-up dater.
Literally.
One. I'm going to put the time
stamp. Oh, you want to put his time stamp on?
Is Leonardo DiCaprio a real shit-up dater or not?
Every he is.
Single girl, 25. The Shadchanim would be floored with him.
He's a creep.
Can you imagine?
If that's a real crazy thing, he's a creep.
I think, respect. He's still playing the game. Good for him.
Come on.
Every girl.
45 years old?
Every girl.
Respect.
No, there's something psychological. There is something psychological.
That's for
there.
Sure.
He's
that's
a child. Sure. He hasn't grown
listen,
up.
Listen, everyone knows.
He didn't. He was never
an actor,
a child.
And nor should he,
Being an actor doesn't make you crazy. It does. You have to have a certain level of crazy.
I don't think it makes him crazy.
A certain level of crazy.
I know a lot of actors. I've gotten to know a bunch of them, at least in the last whatever amount of time.
Really?
I don't think they're crazy.
What do you mean a lot of actors?
I've met actors. I've been taking improv classes. I know people who are actors.
Like real actors that I've seen in movies?
No, not in movies. No, no.
No, so I'm talking at that level.
Oh, at that level.
You've sold your soul to the devil.
Broadway shows. I know people who've done Broadway shows.
You sold your soul to the devil. Straight up.
Oh.
I think a lot of them.
What was the time before, by the way? Like a minute ago?
No, I don't know.
26 minutes.
I think a lot of them are nice, normal people. They just have a craft that they work on, which enables them or actually requires them to be a little crazy. So that's how they.
Okay,
but portray themselves for that
David
reason.
David Schwimmer, after Friends, he said that his personality changed because he was acting as Ross for 10 years.
Classic case of Heath Ledger, right?
Yeah,
Heath Ledger. Right, people say that's why he killed himself. It's not exactly according to his family, but yeah, you have to have that person acting. What acting is? It's you just amplified.
Different,
a part
it's
of
very
you.
Different parts of you that you have it's that a, most people don't usually amplify.
Yeah, it's a part
you
of you that,
have
you,
it in you
that you
yes.
have to amplify in order for it to be interesting.
Would you go out with an actor?
If the girl was an actor and like an actress.
Actress, yeah.
Well, now the proper term is the proper parlance is actually actor, I guess now.
It is an actor.
They got rid of the actress.
Would you go thing. With a they them actress?
No.
That's two different things.
Actually, it's fun. Actually, it's really interesting you just mentioned that because I literally got just the other day on one of these dating sites. My third grade crush, literally, and we went out for a little bit.
This is different from Zippy.
Torrenny,
this is different, yeah.
Is
this one Torrenny time?
And all of a sudden I have girl. Guys, I went on a cold streak after this.
This guy talks about how he doesn't get dates, but apparently he's been playing the game.
No, but I'm like,
five.
And it's funny, she actually had some like drama stuff on there. Nah, if I'm in Shidduchim, I'm looking, if I see that stuff, I'll tell you, there's a stigma, and I'm a little content. I'm a little complacent about giving a yes. And trying it out. But I'm a little bit more open-minded about it now. I'm more content. I'm held back.
Pun intended. You don't give a yes as much.
I won't, right? I'm like,
you're hesitant.
It's weird.
You're reticent.
Hesitant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you would jump at it now.
I don't know if I would jump at it. I think creative people are interesting. You're a creative person, so I find you interesting.
Right, you're back, right. I'm saying
he's
like,
a creative
like 10
person,
years
so
ago,
I find him
oh, he's a chef. Oh, get out.
Yeah,
not
no.
Now it's like top of the red. This thing goes.
I was
right
asking
to the
about
top.
An actress because would you date someone who's used to putting on different personas?
Oh, I'm so simple. I'm a pusher to yid. I could as long as she tells me she's gonna make me chalin, I'm in.
You really should be in Shidduchim.
Well, I went back. I went back now. Like I'm in it again.
Well, I mean, no girls in the underworld, as you call it.
The underworld.
Most
I'm
of them
out.
Don't
I left
cook.
The underworld.
Most of them don't cook.
No, I know.
Was this one of your questions before, or?
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. One of the questions are, yeah, what's the deal with that? The girls don't cook anymore. What happened?
So
tell us. Go ahead.
So you have to take into account, first of all, that going back, I don't know, 100 years, women spent most of the time in the home. They spent most of the time in the home. Their mother spent most of the time in the home, and they spent most of the time in the home growing up. Beis Yaakov came, and I'm not saying not a bad thing at all. Beis Yaakov came and changed the world.
Where they belong, obviously, right? Just little fire.
Oh, I like that. On this. I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
why couldn't Helen Keller drive?
She was busy.
I'm not editing.
I'm getting an abortion.
She's a woman.
I'm not editing. We're not like as powerful as Joe Rogan yet. We just.
How many people actually listen? Real talk.
We have
regular listeners.
3,500, 4,000
regular listeners.
Absolutely.
3,500 people
you
are
could
listening
buy,
to this
you
right
could
now.
Get the information out there.
To the 3,500 people, that Helen Keller joke was.
It takes some time. It takes about a month, yeah. though. It takes a long time. It takes about a month, 6 weeks to. Because the thing is, we're
only 6 weeks to get 3,500.
Our podcast is like on a specific topics. Got it's it. Not like a weekly show.
Got it.
Where people are like, I need to kill
tune
time
in when
at
they
work.
Have the time.
People are actually like, and our show's like very triggersome. Like the biggest feedback I have is, oh, I listened to this one. I listened to every episode except for this one and this one and this one. It's like, I could not listen
so
to that.
Everyone has an episode they don't want to listen
everybody,
to.
Everybody. Everyone. I have to. Pushing I have buttons. One or two. I love it.
So
no, because that's what it is. Like, I push buttons here. Yeah.
So you want me to answer why I think?
Yeah, tell me what's the deal. Tell me about the situation there.
So again, a girl grows up in a home. She learns most things from her mother. Most things. Most girls emulate their mother. Most girls want to be like their mother, as they should be. And what's happened is the mother has stopped spending time in the home. I'm not taking sides here. I'm not talking about feminism. I'm just stating facts. The mother has stopped spending time at home, and the girls aren't seeing an example of the old types of women. It's just different. The world's different. Most women are working either part-time jobs, full-time jobs. And again, that's also why being a private chef is becoming a more popular thing. It used to be a shevarachas that many shevarachas that I've cooked at. These women who have hired me, they usually would be doing it themselves. They, for whatever reason, they don't want to be busy with it. And I'm doing it. Or I do meal prep for somebody every week. She's working full-time. It's and again, I'm not saying yes or no what the best way is. It's just this is the facts of the matter. So women aren't being brought up with a love for cooking to feed a family. I'm not talking about a love for cooking for the creativity, but to feed a family. It's just not something that's being brought in as an example as much. There's plenty of women still at home cooking. But, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, and this is a conversation that's talked about constantly, is that it's not for me to say, but are women... Do women feel as fulfilled being a mother, being bringing up children? Do women feel that as much as they used to? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm going to say this. I don't think there's any exact roles for men and women specifically, but there are certain things. Well, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. There are many things men and women can do equally.
Yeah.
There are very certain things which men cannot do. There are very certain things which women cannot do. There are physical things, there are emotional things, there are spiritual things.
100%.
In the former world, a woman who isn't, if there's a marriage and the woman isn't a spiritual person, the spirituality in the home declines.
Yeah.
Because if it's up to us men, when it comes to spirituality, it's hard sometimes.
Not when we're at shul and it's like third round of the Rebbe's, whatever they, what do they say with stelling out the alcohol there.
Again.
Man, I love that point, though. You're so right on that. Like, they're really, that's what I've been discussing with Shadchanim, where I tell them, I said, I'm not really so interested in, like, certain backgrounds. I usually throw in academia or, like, real corporate executives, which I actually have tailored, like, I have pulled back, actually, with that, because I actually have met some, like,
being more open to
executive girls who happen to be very feminine, but the academia thing, or very, very from sometimes. Right. And exactly that. And they would go, what? Look, this is the reality. And I said, but this is, you're right, this is the reality. But
they're allowed to want
I tell them, I said, the reality is also that if their focus, like from their mother or from their father, was like, you got to work and you got to have 8 degrees or you have to have a big corporate job, or it does take away from the that intimacy, that like,
and again, that's their choice.
That I've seen, not all the time.
That's a woman's choice,
yes
or no.
Right.
By the way, I've seen homes also, and I get to be like a fly on the wall sometimes in homes.
Yeah, oh, that's true, right.
I get to see a lot of homes where women are either very, very equal partners, or sometimes even doing more financially, more just in general around the home. Sometimes the men are traveling and sometimes the men are traveling and the only thing they're doing is sending back a check. Basically.
Wow. My father ran away when I was 4 years old and my mom carried us all in the house. Kidding.
Well, no. Never know if the
well, when, yeah, no, that actually had a warm up. That was actually an interesting thing because we did one discuss one time and we brought on I think it was Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky Yarmish came on and we were discussing like this setup and this background and
works sometimes by the way.
We're actually saying that the truth is this has actually been happening for a long time because women used to do the books of the business.
Right.
They used to they really did cover the fine. Like they did they contribute like it was.
Oh,
it was
everyone knows when it comes to details. Yeah. A guy is.
But
just
the cooking.
Not
but the cooking. The crazy thing is, the cooking is for those of us who grew up with the cook. Women know how to handle themselves in the kitchen, and men have not.
It's a power.
And now
struggle.
It's like the total opposite.
Power struggle.
So I didn't grow up. I didn't grow up like that.
Yeah. Really?
You
have to watch somebody.
I learned from my father.
Wow.
My mother. Cooked all the time. She cooked great food.
Oh, really?
But what's she that? Let my father cook as much as he wanted.
Right.
And she also let me cook as much as I wanted.
Oh, wow. So, that's so nice of her.
Yeah.
No, it's a healthy outlet.
It is. But it's very hard to find women who are open to people coming into the kitchen and cooking.
That's
it's a hard thing.
That's their territory. That's their territory.
What makes Breaking Bad so great the first four seasons, right?
He's cooking.
Is that Walter needs to feel like he's the man of the house, that he's able to leave his children
that's
off with something.
That's what completely shifted him.
It's really the big change. He kind of
went a little far.
His person's ego was, I'm going to leave my children with millions of dollars, enough to get by. $750,000, right, to get by without me. And that's what the stereotypical male, even people who are more liberal, the non-Jewish Walter White professor and whatever, had that same mentality because it was a man's job to provide.
Yeah, but is that a little bit of a egotistical mentality? I'm not saying
that's
don't leave.
Question.
I'm not
is
saying
it?
Don't leave anything. But let's take Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He decided that he wanted to leave a certain sum of money to get them through whenever.
Yeah.
He could have left them with 5 years. Why'd he have to go sell meth, cook meth, to leave them with 30 years?
That's all he knew how to do, though.
Eventually, they would have been okay without him.
That's all he knew how to do.
Eventually, they would have been okay without him.
Oh, with
people move on.
Oh, it's true, right?
I'm not saying
well, that's
not,
part
I'm
of
not
the ego.
But then there's
struggle.
No show.
I'm not saying death isn't tragic.
Right, part of the life.
Psychoanalyzing. I found it incredibly psychologically fascinating that show.
Part of life is that you have to realize that people will be okay without you. Just giving them the tools to cope without you is more than enough.
Yeah,
is more than financial support.
Yeah,
right. Giving him the tools, giving his children the know-how, the knowledge.
He should have taught them how to cook meth.
Maybe. I mean, they should teach them how to live life.
Yeah.
How to be happy with themselves.
It's, I'll tell you again, I'm not the pro on parenting at all. I just try my best. But as a father, I can tell you that's pretty much my main goal. Just to show my son how to be happy and just be a good person.
If he
turns out like that, I'm happy.
I love that.
Yeah.
No, thanks for sharing, Mendy.
I try.
What do you think? Guys like us, right? We're single. We've been in the Shidduch Corps. Shidduch Corps. Did I explain the Shidduch Corps? All the righteous Gentiles in my office, they joined the Peace Corps. They're in the Peace Corps. So I said, I'm in the Shidduch Corps.
Only Jews say corpse.
And then I said, right, corpse.
Everyone else says Peace Corps. We
so
say
I said
Peace
the
Corps. Corpse.
Yeah. So I said corpse. So I'm like, I was in the Shidduch Corps.
Yeah.
So we've been in it for some time. I've been in some time, Avery, whatever. What can I start doing to preparing as a father? How can I do this? What should I do? Should I adopt a dog?
Should I
adopt
like
a little
loaded,
puppy named Avery?
A puppy's not going to do nothing for you. A puppy's not.
I already bark. I poop on his lawn.
I would say, listen, some bias part you're probably prepped for.
For a while.
Right.
No, I'm on a serious note. Living with a roommate. Yeah, living with a roommate definitely helps. It helps. You have to learn to give. You have to learn to forgive.
You got to be... Like, you got to be, you can't be aloof. There are times when I'll walk out, I'm the most aloof person. I don't want to look at anybody, but I got to switch it. Like, I'm coming home. I got to leave all the problems at the door. But certainly, I mean, I don't know. You get pretty finicky about a lot of things, to be honest.
That explains why there's the baseball bat markings on the wall, which is what he does. He just smashes it.
I have, remember from Matilda, that movie Matilda? Like, I have that uh-huh. You ever seen the movie Matilda?
I don't remember.
We have
Except
to do a movie night.
Pink.
We have to do a movie night. You, me, Avery, you can come if you want, whatevs. Okay, no, as you were saying, so with this, Yeah.
When he's not busy in the kitchen.
I'll be walking. Look, it's a lot. I'm going to be walking the dog.
At the end of the day, it becomes tumultuous. There's an exorbitant amount of change that these girls, our age bracket, right? I know a little bit more or less how old you're, our age bracket, like they just didn't see growing up. Like who did they have to look to who was a role model in a good way? Did keep the old traditions and also went out and took America.
Well, let's even the playing field a little bit. There's been a complete shift in the firm world in general. Ooh, it's by women.
Men also.
If you had a podcast here with three women sitting here, they would be talking about how the men
changed. How have they changed? They're not real men anymore. I think that's the one thing.
Men
have
become a lot more emotional, a lot more emotionally in touch with themselves.
Yeah.
Men have become, we're generalizing here a little bit, but in the firm world, people who are a little burnt out of a certain way of doing things, maybe the more serious way, the more intense way, the people who want to break from that are moving more toward a joyful way of life, a different way of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting joy before other things sometimes, putting joy before certain things in life.
Right. Maybe I won't save this money. I'll spend it. I'll do something for the family, for me. Right. Because that's what that's how
spending
our
it now
parents
instead of
generation
saving it for retirement.
Our parents' generation was like, you can never enjoy anything.
So
everything
let me
must
sum this up.
All the money must be put tucked away under the couch.
Retirement, retirement.
That's so it.
Let me blow your mind a little bit. To sum this up, we are living in a world now of instant gratification. And men and women like are looking for instant gratification. So men are becoming more emotional. Men are becoming more the types who we don't want to hold in feelings anymore. We want that. We want the release. We want to be able to go to therapy. We want to be able to take a break from work. Men aren't working as hard. Men are traveling a lot more. Men are giving in a lot more to their emotional side of things. Women are wanting instant gratification also. Raising children is not instant gratification. There are certain parts of it which are amazing and beautiful and are instant gratification, but the general subject of child rearing is not instant gratification. You don't get to see the results right away.
Right.
You can say the same thing to a kid 50 times within an hour, or you can try to lead by example 50 times and the kid still will not get it. So a woman who's stuck in the home or feels stuck in the home wants to do something, wants to accomplish. Women more than men want to accomplish, by the way. Women are more ambitious than men.
Women are
a lot more ambitious than men.
I like that.
But they want to accomplish. And if they don't feel accomplished in the home, they need to go get a job. They need to go get a degree. They need to do something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because and the ones that figure it out
and cooking and cooking every day and cooking every day and trying to take care of your children and doing the lunches and doing all these seemingly mundane stuff doesn't carry as much meaning anymore.
And I have complete reverence for people, whatever they do.
Your mind's not blown.
Whatever they do, as long as they're being truthful to themselves. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
But that's really some big stuff there. Like you're saying, the instant gratification stuff is really rubbed off on our gen.
Everything.
Like that's,
everything.
Avery, what do you think about this?
That makes sense. I think that women do want to nurture and have lasting relationships eventually. I mean, they're programmed.
What's nurture?
They're built.
Why? Why is a woman
built
want
to nurture? That's how they're personalities have been and have always been. If but you meet a woman, generally more caring and emotional.
Something. It gives them
attachment.
What does it give them?
What do you mean?
What does nurturing someone else give a woman?
It gives them feeling of fulfillment.
Huge sense of fulfillment.
Yeah.
Huge sense of accomplishment. Yeah. So we live in a world where child rearing,
which is difficult,
and raising children and sitting in a kitchen 6 hours a day cooking for your children and preparing lunches is not looked at as something that's
anymore. I don't disagree. I think there's a happy medium out there for people to live.
It is
special.
I'm putting it on the record. It is. Being a mother is really freaking hard.
I'm sure.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And I wish we lived in a world where it was recognized a lot more.
Yeah.
I think everything would just be better.
Yeah. Isaac tries with me and it's just, I will not take the milk. I will not do it. It's
I go,
hard
choo
to be a mother.
Choo. I go,
I will not bite. No, no. Don't give
Open
me.
Up your mouth.
Blow it on it first.
Here comes a pace.
Doesn't work.
There you go. Avery.
It's a hard job.
Are you watching the FX, TV FX on Hulu? It's on Hulu.
Chances are any TV show you're going to tell me I probably have not watched.
Impeachment.
I watched like a lot of shows, but not, I don't know. It seems like you're more across the
Oh, that's all
spectrum.
That's all.
You know what I'm into?
My job is like, I just watch West Wing. I'm doing work and I look at the
Netflix documentaries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we just saw one.
Did you see Man Titeo?
I watched most
How
of that
great
one.
Was that?
That was amazing. Untold awesome. Is incredible. Untold.
He was into Linnae.
Oh, God.
I didn't watch that one yet.
That thing was cool.
I didn't watch it, but Untold.
He's a cool dude, and I get it. Because I mean, I talked about.
He's a nice guy.
And I fell in love over.
But I do want to
totally
say,
related to the
she
guy.
She was singing in there, right? You heard her sing. She had a beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I could sing, yeah.
This young lady, yeah.
Poor guy. I don't even know what it's sad. Maybe it's, honestly, like, it's very sad that people go through that stuff.
But yeah, that screwed up. That if this guy was like, I guess. There is a perception that maybe he just was, you know, if he was tougher, if he's just more tough.
No, yeah.
I mean, that destroys you.
You want to have a gender identity. You want a crisis. You want to have that crisis.
Yeah,
you
kind of screwed up someone else's life.
Have that crisis.
It also
don't
happened
start opening up
PC.
Fake social media accounts and turning people's lives over.
Yeah, Mendy. Yeah.
You can't do the catfish. The catfish thing, you got to meet. You got to meet as soon as possible.
I have fish people.
Getting back.
Here you go. Get your t-shirts over here right now. Wolfpack, what are we calling these things? Chef Mendy t-shirt. Everybody right here. Get this shirt. Okay. Chef Instagram. Get it on Instagram. Mm.
I'm not currently selling it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, listen, if the money's right, I'll print you a shirt.
I don't mean to impinge in any way.
Back to your previous point. I'm just curious. And maybe you know or don't know whether or not your feeling on how the film world is changing is potentially a reflection of where you are in life.
Oh, of course.
And a projection of how you feel about what goes on.
Well, all our opinions.
That's true, right.
Any opinion is influenced by your personal feelings.
Right, since we're not necessarily, I mean, we grew up in a world, right, that was surrounded by just from people. Now that we're all out in the world dealing with all various kinds of humans and people from different Hashkafic and backgrounds and whatever. We don't have that inner connection anymore. And we don't have the know-how to necessarily put our finger on it.
So I would say personally, so I'll just give you a little insight. I learned tequila for a year and a half after got married. Yeah,
wow. My man.
I wasn't a super quote-unquote yeshivish guy, but I was trying to fit into the box, trying to live that life, and there were many parts of it that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, we're all there, man.
With my divorce, I just shifted. I shifted, and I'm not gonna lie. There are things that I had a hard time with, and there are things that thank God I'm doing great in now. And I realized that there's just certain parts of me that I'm not interested in faking for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah,
I count myself as a from Jew. I'm Shem Shabbos. I'm Shem Kashrus. I kosher. I daven as much as possible. I learn.
Yeah, he does daven. I've seen he davens to me 4 times a day.
Who, me?
Mendy.
Oh, Mendy. Yeah, God.
We're starting. Yeah.
Avery, he's having a moment. He's having. I'm totally here. I see the same thing you're saying. Also,
no. I'm not looking. I was stuck in that space a little
bit.
Stuck in this resentful space. I was stuck in this space of just here's the issues.
Right.
And
the
what am I doing to change myself and
exactly
change the world around me if possible in any way. And I realized that there's a very fine balance between I've met people who they've gone so far as where they're at the point you want to be not from, but to the point where they're trying. They can't embrace being not from, so they're trying to stay from, and they're trying to touch up the Torah in different ways. Really, like I've seen it time and time again. People are like, oh, that mitzvah, it doesn't really mean. No, it doesn't mean that. If you have a relationship with Hashem, and you want to have a relationship with Hashem, talk to him and say, listen, Hashem, this is something that I'm struggling with. I'm not saying this is the ideal way. Don't take me and no LOR nothing. But you say, Hashem, this is difficult for me. Mm-hmm. Don't try to touch it up differently. You don't want to keep it. Don't keep it.
I struggle with it.
But people have gone so far with that resentment, whatever. And there's a very fine balance to trying to figure out, okay, where can I keep my frumkeit, but also have the joy, have the emotional part of things that maybe I didn't grow up with. Maybe, unfortunately, in the Litvish world, in the yeshiva world, there's a lot of focus on very, very much just about the actions. It's so much focus on the actions, and there should be focus on the actions. But for me personally, there wasn't enough love filtered into the actions. I'm not I'm not talking about in any specific dynamic, in any specific relationship dynamic, just in general. I didn't grow up with the feeling that love comes before anything else in Yiddishkeit. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Trink, you read his book? I read some of his book.
Heard of
Just
him.
Love Them.
I don't read any
Jewish
books.
I met him once.
Is he on a podcast?
No, he's not alive anymore.
Oh, okay.
But I met him once when I was in Camp Agoda. He came to speak and whatever. And he had such an energy. The guy got up. He was jumping. It literally looked like jumping out of his socks. I'm telling you, it sounds like a very yeshiva story. He was jumping out of his socks.
Nice.
And he had such a smile on his face the entire time he was there. And the stories you heard about him after where he could not kick guys out of yeshiva because he loved them too much and they needed to leave. And he was like, I can't. He couldn't. He had a hard time reprimanding people because it was just like, it's going to hurt him. And I just love him so much. And he was such a special person. And I'm sure he had to find his own happy medium with that. Because maybe he was giving too much of the joy. Maybe he needed to be more straight. I have no idea. But it's very hard.
Now, juxtapose that feeling, though, with the feeling of not looking at from Kai through love, right? Just feeling like you're doing it
no
because
love.
Of,
I don't want to say there's no love.
I didn't say no love. I'm just not feeling it through love just by practice, per se, right? Doing things for practice sake. And then look at how the community generally, attacked Julia Hart for her take on, which is her take. I'm not going to get into the exact specifics.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, yeah.
There was an
look at how the community attacked.
They loved running
personal
after
attacks and just a vengefulness against her and her family for something that's not
you
it's
watched
her
the
own
show?
Experience.
You watched
I
the show?
I did not watch the show. I
okay,
had no
so
interest
I watched
in watching the show.
Very little. Of the
I watched
show.
Very little. So I fell. I have to be honest. I fell asleep.
I heard her book. I'm just talking about her book.
Maybe
I wanted
different.
To support
Maybe
her. I wanted to support her, but I fell asleep.
The show.
I listened to.
She
the
wanted
book.
To get a message out there.
Yeah,
I respect that.
Yeah,
the way she did it and the extraness of what she did.
Yeah.
That's what was wrong.
She just perseverated.
She could have put out a book she could have written a very real account of her life. Instead, she chose to embellish. And I'm not talking about her life, but the whole thing was put onto Netflix as entertainment.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to get a message out there, why you?
I think she doesn't. She's an entertainer.
I think
that's
she wanted
exactly
to get. I think
is.
She wanted to get a message out, but
she,
I don't.
You
think,
had a
I don't
story.
Think she, I don't think she had the ability in herself to only just give a message. To just give a message.
My
and
thinking
that's it.
Is her whole career. Her mother was a psychologist, a esteemed psychologist, she had 2 degrees, who were immigrants, and her life. They were told, and she's a very very smart woman, and her parents told her, or they were both geniuses, both her parents. They lived in Texas for a while. She was always the new kid. She was an immigrant. She was a child of immigrants, and she was always trying to be the best in whatever it is she was doing. She worked 6 jobs. She worked for some yeshivish guy selling
life
insurance, and she did amazing.
Yeah.
She was ambitious.
She had ambition.
Right? She did that.
Girl.
She went to this. She went to design. She went. She was ambitious.
And she's creative, and she was different.
She was creative and different. And she realized as the Kardashians grew and all the reality TV stars and Netflix grew itself and was giving out opportunities, she found an opportunity and she profited on it.
I don't blame her for taking
her business person. That's what she did with her marriage.
So someone called me up and said, and my story isn't tragic like hers, but if someone called me up and said, I'll pay you for your story, whatever it is, whatever your story is, I'll pay you for your story. It would be very hard not to sell my story.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's very right. Money on the table.
Yeah. I was defending her also. I mean,
she's
this
a capitalist.
Guy, right.
I don't know about,
I wasn't like, I put
how many
like
people
this?
Would say no. She had a good story.
Oh, and dude, bro, sell, make the money.
I don't know. Steven
there's
Spielberg
like some real...
didn't take a penny for Schindler's List of all
yeah,
people.
Wow.
He actually wrote directed that movie. He didn't take a penny. He donated it all. But not everybody's going to do that.
That's commendable.
He was already rich, right? This woman made
yeah, off of
money.
Star Wars. The guy took his own. Yeah,
she was already rich herself. So, yeah, to that point, I get it. But
I don't know. Listen, I think she had every right to state her message. There was a lot of extra.
I like that. I agree.
People do that.
I think she,
we all
I think
do that. We all do that. When we want to get a point across,
I
we,
think she
we
had a good,
go over the top sometimes.
At the end of the day, as from observant Yidden who really feel like there's a godly sense out there, I think the first point of recognition is to just realize that, all right, God's sending us a message here. God's sending us a message here. We have a broken young lady, well, old lady, a broken middle, whatever, at her age, broken lady. You can see the pain. You can see the way she talked. Her kids were like, dude, this was in our backyard. This was in our backyard.
Oh, these, I'm sure there were plenty of
Chabad. The family, the girls were in yeshivas, I know. I have friends who went to those. It was crazy.
Oh, everyone. It was crazy. So many people who know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Yeah.
The point is.
But like this was on TV. So seeing that was like really astonishing.
The point is, though, kill him with kindness, embrace the people for differences, and embracing her as opposed to sitting on Twitter and destroying and attacking and coming up with different reasons why she's this, that, and the other. Whatever names you can come for. She's a machla. She's a cancer.
Right. I didn't like that. People feel like she attacked. I didn't like that.
But people do feel like she undermined a lot of the
form. Oh, yeah. She did.
Yeah. And she did. She shook it up.
She gave him a big.
These are the same people who said that going to Citi Field is a sin and watching TV. All of a sudden, we're on Zoom doing.
Right. All the right. Isn't that interesting? Right. I mean, internet's here.
Hashem gave us Hashem gave us these mitzvahs to live the best ideal life that we can in this world.
Yeah.
Simply put, and this isn't my own words; these are things I've heard from other people. And we do our best to keep them. And to say, because someone is having a hard time in this area, this we spoke about this when I posted this on my status.
We did. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Should I say the story a little bit?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm down. Yeah. Absolutely. As long as you're open to it.
I heard from somebody that got back to me that someone had asked about me shidduch-wise. And the person who was giving the information said a few things about me, which were all very true, very, very honest things, which maybe not a lot of people know, but things that were very true. And I was like, okay, this is the truth. I can't argue with this stuff, right?
Right.
And then they said, apparently, again, I'm paraphrasing from what I heard, and I'm sure the words were changed up from person to person, but they basically said 6 months ago he really didn't care about Yiddishkeit at all. Now, through my divorce and maybe my shift, I've had things that I've struggled with. I never gave up on Yiddishkeit. I never gave up on trying to be the way I want to be from Kite-wise, and that's more than I am right now. And it bothered me. It really bothered me to hear this. First of all, obviously bothered me as a person. You don't want to hear something about yourself like that, and it was not true. That was what bothered me. Other stuff didn't bother me. Because you're just stating truth. And it bothered me even more because I have friends, people I know who have been divorced, who, I don't know if we want to put this, but basically someone I know got divorced. I know exactly why she got divorced. I know the type of person her husband is.
Wow.
Needless to say, he's not super.
I think you could say it, because I've been more open-minded to it, calling
someone was telling
me
about her. Someone said, oh, you heard she got divorced? I said, yeah, sure, I heard. And I know why they got divorced. And they and
the
this
thing
with
the divorce
said,
community, you guys all like talk.
I mean, people do share a lot more with a divorced person.
How
they do.
You try again. I tried getting in, bro.
Someone gave a bracha to someone once when I was near them, which was like, I give you a bracha that you should have the ability to get divorced.
Oh wow! Oh wow! No, because you really crawl out of that hole and you're reborn.
Well, you die.
It's another chance.
I'm not divorced, but I fell in love with. I mean, fell in love. I know it's an American, but I should have dated. We fell in love. I talked about it on one of these episodes, one of the podcasts, and I was in a hole. I was in a hole for 6 months, like when it didn't work out.
Yeah, listen, divorce,
climbing out
kills
of that,
everyone.
Like, oof, like it was rough.
I mean, relationships, yeah. Breaking up.
Well,
relationships.
There was
kills
a ring,
everyone.
But she didn't take it.
Okay. But that's gonna kill you. That's gonna hurt you. Yeah. But
it was a candy ring, so I can kind of understand.
Avery, that was I'm kidding. It was your ring.
Avery, come on.
You can have it.
Someone
you see
else,
how
Avery.
He talks to me, people.
I am a bitter soul. You were continuing.
Tell us.
What happened with this? Someone was telling me about this girl, and they said, "Yeah, you heard she got divorced. Yeah, you heard why she got divorced." I said, "Whatever. I'm not getting involved in this conversation." I heard that she leans a certain way sexually.
Oof.
Which was completely untrue. Completely
right.
Untrue.
Totally untrue. Yeah.
And I said to this person, I said, how can you say that? How can you just drop this information like that? You can't do that. You're talking about someone's life. She has kids. She's trying. She's going to want to get married again.
1,000,000%.
Why? Why? And this isn't, I've heard it more than once. Other people, other situations. People just talk about divorce or relationships. People talk about people and just drop information.
It's crazy.
And just, oh, I heard this. I heard You heard what he spent on this. You heard what they spent on this. You heard. We just talk.
This is gossip. Who cares?
I have
because
literally.
Because it impacts people.
No, so I understand that.
At the end of this story. So hold on. So to back up.
Because he's
a story in his story.
It was a story. It was Inception.
Regarding
yeah, no questions on the
which
story.
Which is possible, by the way. We'll talk about that. it's called dreamscaping.
I tell you right now, it's happened. I've done two levels. I've woken up and I was in a dream and then I woke up.
That's insane.
I've done it.
You can dreamscape. You can control your dream. I've never done it. I want to.
You'll have to come back and
I have a friend who flew, who intentionally flew in their dream.
Oh, wow.
It's a trip.
I love that.
Anyway, so.
Tell me how to do it.
The person who said to me, not the person who said to me, but hearing about me that, oh, I heard that he doesn't care. 6 months ago, he didn't care about Yiddish guy. So if you're a close friend of mine and you know exactly where I am Yiddish guy wise, first of all, you wouldn't say that because you know I've never been like that.
Right. It's not their place.
And obviously you don't know. How can you just drop information that you don't know? Mm. Straight up, it's a chutzpah.
Yep.
Anywho,
Jews love. People love. People love gossiping.
Jews.
I'm not even
going to
say it.
Gotta
people
stop.
Love gossiping. People love it.
But it impacts.
I have made comments
world.
To people when there would be a douchebag, and I'd be like, "Now I know why I get divorced." So just to shove it in.
That's a classic okay? one. That's a classic.
But
one.
Then they come back. They fire back. I only do it when they could fire back, and they go, "Now I know why you're single." I'll do that because I respect the sibling, the single siblinghood, as I call it.
Gossip is superficial.
But I tell someone,
it's not what
it's
it was.
Just superficiality.
Gossip
people
has evolved.
Who are unhappy with themselves. That need to point out the flaws in others. And again, that's
so
always
this used
the case.
To happen. This always happens. This happened since the beginning of time.
Of course.
There's a difference now.
And it was the Kava's fault. The
difference is now is that we have the internet, we have social media, and we have everything.
You can promulgate
speed
it like this
of
much
light.
Quicker.
It's so when you say something, you have to realize if someone says this fact to me or what they think is a fact, I can then go text 10 people within the span of a minute and ask them if I was the type of person to ask.
Yeah.
I would have texted 10 people and be like, did you hear such and such about such and such? And people do that. And in the span of a minute, there you go, ruin someone's life.
Oh, my Wallerstein did
so it's not the
sure
gossip.
On this.
You it's know, not gossip. It's not the gossip.
Well, it's about who you allow to control yourself. Meaning people can talk about whatever it is I do or don't do. They can text, they can WhatsApp, they can Instagram. I could care less because these people have zero control. They release zero space in my mind.
What if you have a child?
That's again the same thing.
What if you have
apply.
A child?
The no, same theory
it should
apply.
It doesn't. It's not the reality.
As you have a child, it becomes. I can't
it's
even.
Not
it
reality.
Is a part. I get it.
You have to
you.
Think about how it's going to impact them.
Oh yeah,
I understand the differences, but from a point of view where, and this is
can
an
I
attachment.
Say, can I say maybe
this,
you don't?
I don't have a child. You're right. I have a family. I have parents, and I have parents.
You're an adult.
Somebody says something about my parents.
Yourself, yes.
The person at the end of the day, I go to grave, and the only person I have to answer for is myself.
Right.
Who else? Nobody.
Until you have kids, it's different.
If I'm gone
I was
tomorrow,
telling you about
I,
it.
Yeah. If I'm gone tomorrow, I have to answer for more than just myself.
Right.
That's a disagreement of philosophy because I think that ultimately, individually,
Avery,
even,
until they're grown ups, until they're grown ups, even then. But I'm saying,
even
you
then,
have a young child, you're responsible in many ways.
I mean, you are to an extent.
There's no line.
For how much you're responsible for your child?
Yeah, there's no line where you have to think, oh, is this going to affect someone else?
It depends what it is.
If you were married, would you be saying something different? Yeah, you would.
Is this a religious determination?
No,
is this financial?
No, no, no.
Financial support?
We're not talking about a specific thing that you're doing.
Well,
I'm talking
about
in general.
Yeah.
No.
Financially?
There's every area of life, if you have a child or if you have a wife or if you have a partner or a spouse, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, every aspect of life is something you have to think about. There's aspects in the financial world. Oh, now I have to make more money.
Yeah.
There's emotions. Oh, I have to communicate more.
You dictate the
spirituality.
Terms of the relationship.
I have to maybe listen for me to wake up every day and decide. You know what? Let's say I decided. You know what's in by the Mormons? I think the Mormons
they wear like titsis.
No, they go away
they wear
for a
titsis,
year.
I know.
They go away for a year.
Oh, those are
the Amish. They go away for a year.
They have like off the derech here.
Right. So the Amish have that. The Amish have that. And if I decided I wanted to do that, just wanted to drop off the map for you, I can't, even if I wanted to.
Oh, right.
Cause, I have a child. It's not. Forget about Frumkin. I'm not even talking about Frumkin.
I get that.
I have to think about him.
Yeah.
I'm saying
we have
that's a responsibility. Yeah.
I'm saying it's not none of this.
But also you have
something. You do have a certain freedom.
I will say you also have something to live for, which is
100%.
Different.
So I say this all the time.
That's
if not for my son,
right.
I would be a mess today. I don't know where I would be. I would be somewhere in Chile, like chilling.
What would you do? What would, right.
I probably would have traveled and I gotta go find myself, man.
I'll do it. I'm gonna do it for you.
I gotta go find myself, man.
Where should I go? Where should I go? I could go anywhere. I just want to go to
probably
Miami.
Probably would have gone like to Thailand, India.
Oh, I want
to
go.
Peru.
I want to go. Actually, I don't know, India.
Seen some medicine man in the Mayans.
I want to go, but I just tell you like this. Like,
what's stopping you?
I just want someone to arrange everything for me. I don't want to do anything.
I can't just drop it.
No, what's stopping him?
Oh, it's stopping him. Oh, you should go. You should do this.
Where would I? What would I do?
I'll find you. I will not run the podcast. It's going to go to a podcast.
I need to work. I'm going to do the podcast from Chile.
I could find you.
I'm here.
Nice
in Budapest, eating at the new restaurant, Chile.
You're gonna record it on a tape recorder and send it back in an envelope so we could play.
In an envelope with
internet.
I'm sure the internet's terrible. Oh yeah, but it's terrible.
I've never been there. You've been there?
India? It's terrible.
India?
No, we do IT work like over there. It's the room. Israeli internet.
Do IT work in India?
Yeah, like we have call centers.
But they have no IT in India. Okay.
No, they do.
Half of India doesn't
even
have internet.
Engineers over there.
Half of India doesn't have internet yet.
Well,
half that does is royally messing us over all the time.
It really is not good. It's awful.
They're doing enough of the job for the whole country.
So I love what you're saying there about you got to watch. That's real, by the way. That's, I think, real Lashon Hara.
Gossip.
That's real Lashon Hara that people need to be like more, just more perceptive of, more aware of. If there's... Sometimes I'll catch myself like I'm trying to explain to someone a situation. A lot of times in shidduchim, I'll just be like, "Oh wait, honestly, it's not my place." And I've kind of actually trained my mind to that place to just be like, "It's just not my place." And let me tell you, for guys, it's really tricky because you have shadchanim who call you up as a reference, or they call your references and they gauge when you're the reference, they gauge you. Right. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean he's more modern these days? What do you mean she's modern, tznius? What does that mean? And you're like, am I the person to tell? What do you convey over? What do you give over? And that's where I kind of realize that I stop things dead in the tracks. And I said, I'm not going to sit there and talk about that. Let me tell you about this person.
Let me tell you what I know.
I said, if you're looking for a fishing excavation, expedition, go join Bob Merrick Gardner and go look for Trump over there. Go do that. On a fishing exhibition.
Expedition.
Okay? Expedition. Go.
Trip. Fishing trip.
Like, expedition. Seriously, what, like...
You like the bigger
words.
What
are you doing?
It's not for Isaac. Isaac is a man of the people.
I am. Thank you. Isaac, I am. That's what
if
I
If Isaac
done.
Was running for mayor, Isaac would be wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
I would.
Running
I know,
for mayor.
With a cigar in his mouth, kissing babies.
I would kiss babies. I would kiss
you would be holding
babies.
Baby.
I'd kiss the rabbis. I would be. I'm a man of the... I'm the comeback kid.
Sound like a Kennedy right now.
I'm talking like President Slick Willie, President
Price
Clinton.
Of gas now, it's cheaper to buy crack and run at places than buy gas and drive places.
Bro, okay.
That was Ted Kennedy?
One of the Kennedys.
Kennedys.
Ted, that killer.
Probably
Kennedy
Ted.
Senator. No, there's a senator.
Senator John Kennedy.
He should be in office forever.
He's great. You're talking about the Republican senator from Louisiana.
I don't know.
He's great. His name's John. I think it's John Kennedy. Senator
John
Kennedy.
John Kennedy from Louisiana.
He's great. Right. He gets on. He goes,
the biggest.
Sean, let me tell you, Sean, what the Biden administration has done
Congress
absurd.
Is so unsuccessful.
Sean Hannity.
The Republicans, you can't understand what they're saying. Between Mitch McConnell, John Kennedy, Lindsey Graham, you don't know what the hell they're talking about.
That's the problem.
That is the real issue.
Biden can't even put two words together. And Trump, by the way, he's not better when he talks. He talks about 30 things. It's like this podcast.
All the New Yorkers understand Trump. But the thing is the New Yorkers are spread across
how we
the
talk.
Country.
We,
right. So we understand.
How many topics have we covered? How many topics have we covered in this hour?
Quite a few.
A lot.
That's the ADHD.
Speaking of topics, what else you got on there?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring, because we're bringing up politics, okay? Because I know we have a few minutes left.
I stay out of politics. I stay out of the news.
Speaking of politics, like this inflation stuff, this is going on. I wanted to ask you, Tell our brothers and sisters.
One of our listeners just died.
I'm not a financial guy.
No. But you buy food and you prep food.
Budget.
Yeah. What could people start doing to maybe help on the Steigo dollars, as we used to say in Dora Golding? What can they do? I've thought of some ideas, but you go ahead. I want to hear from a professional chef.
I'm not the best guy for this. I'll tell you why.
Because you just go big, you blow the budget.
I only work with people. If I'm on the phone with somebody and they start telling me, listen, I want to keep it exactly this number. We can't go over this number. And I don't think that's a good number. I tell them, you're not my client.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say it exactly like that, but yeah, I turn them down because
fired.
I need to have, I fired
no, you trumped them?
I fired clients before.
you have standards. I'm happy to hear that. That's something I learned in sales. Yeah.
It's something I learned in sales. You have to be happy with the people you're working with. You have to be able to feel good about servicing a client. And especially when I'm cooking for someone in your home.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm cooking in your home and we don't get along, then it's not going to work
vibes.
At all.
It's not going to work for me.
It's not going to work for you.
It's not.
And when I cook, I just want to get back into the emotions piece. When I cook, cooking is very emotional. Food is very emotional. And if I'm not feeling good when I'm cooking, my food does not come out as good. There have been times where I'm in an extremely good place emotionally and mentally. My food is fire. I remember I was doing a demo for a client, and I had so much on my mind. I did not do a good job. Thank God I got the sale, but I did not do a good job. It's food is very emotional. But to go back on what you were saying before, I don't work within a budget usually, or a tight budget. So I'm not the best guy. But I will tell you, if for throwing parties, you want to throw a party, you want to have a birthday night, you want to have a
birthday dinner night. That's like a good
way to do that in a budgetary way. And this is when clients come to me and they start telling me, okay, I want this amount of meat, I want these many meat dishes and chicken dishes, and then I tell them what it's probably going to cost. They're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I say, okay, there's another way to do this. We load up the menu.
More derbs.
Side dishes and salad. There's so much to do.
Yeah. And people get fill also because they get the Jewish like Pesach program anxiety when they come to these things. And, oh, my God, I need food.
I got to eat everything.
And it's just like, bro, one at a time. Just shtell it out.
Right. So what I usually do with clients is I just have a ton of side dishes. And some of those side dishes have meat, but they don't have a ton of meat. So people go for the dishes. Because when you're by these events, you want meat and potatoes sometimes. Yo. Right? Meat and potatoes.
The millennials actually say salad toppings on the salad. It's all about the salad toppings.
Please play the crickets.
It's not about the salad.
So,
which one, Avery?
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Because Avery, they only get activated when you say something.
Oh, is that how it works?
So good dish.
I didn't know your hand was artificial intelligence.
It has a mind of its own.
A good dish, by the way. A great dish. I would say a cheap dish. That is a huge crowd pleaser. Loaded fries.
Loaded fries.
I put that out and it's gone in a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
It's got meat. It's like got fried onions. It's got sauces. It's got
fake
potatoes.
Fake cheese
if you have fake cheese.
Potatoes. I like how you say that.
Potatoes.
You have an accent.
I love meat and potatoes.
For the show or is that just...
Whenever I say meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like a mild Tourette's.
Rover and Alba.
I have food Tourette's.
Mashed potato.
Yeah.
So that's a good.
I can't tell you.
That's interesting. So you're saying like, wait a second. You just helped me out here. So I know what I'm going to do tomorrow by lunch. I'm going to go to the kosher food store and I'm going to buy like frozen fries, which are like pricey already. Like you might as well get regular fries. But anyway. Like $6.75
to make fresh fries, is
and I'll just
difficult.
Put cheese
not
on them.
Difficult. It's
I'll
just
put
process.
Cheese on them.
Yeah.
Put a little fake whatever.
Some,
put it in the microwave.
Beans,
bam.
Some baked beans.
Some baked beans. I love this.
Cheese, baked beans.
I'm gonna try it.
A little bit of pastrami.
Hello, this really helps, dude. Thank you. Oh my god, Avery.
But in general,
let's see if this happens.
I can tell you.
Probably not. All right, I'm gonna put so much effort.
He's coming back with takeout from
I'm literally
not even.
That's what's gonna happen.
Wendy's.
No, where did I go? I went to some like, what happened to you in the beginning of the podcast? Like you were working in a kitchen and you had to go and just order food. Oh, it was a Shabbaton. Like we did the Shabbaton this week.
Which by the way, do you know do you know how many conversations I had with Isaac?
I know. First of all, I was there
know.
For
so
half
let's,
of them.
Let's talk
and
about
I told
I
him,
talk
I said,
about this.
This is your guy.
I want to
I
talk
said,
about
Isaac,
this.
This is your guy.
We have to talk about this because this isn't about you guys. Something that happens, and you asked a little bit about the evolution of food in the food world. Yeah. Something that I've noticed is that people want the bigger and better, but they can't afford the bigger and better. So you guys came to me, for example, and you wanted to hire a private chef, which is great, and I'm glad that you wanted to do it. The question is, can you afford it?
The budget, yeah.
Can the budget afford it?
I know.
If you can't afford it, you can't get it. Now, you guys were fine. Eventually, you were, okay, we're not going to do it because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because you were doing it as an organization. You're not necessarily doing this fully for the profit or whatever. But coming from a family, people call me up, and they're like, I want a private chef. I said, sure, okay, what's it going to cost me? Well, we go through the menu, we go through the ideas, whatever. It's going to cost you this. It's going to cost you $2,000. Okay. My budget's $1,500. What I want to say is, well, I'm sorry, then you can't hire a private chef.
Yep. Yep.
I can't say that.
And we realized that. We called
because
up.
Because you guys.
And they made the food, and then we like found a bacher to right. like, happens to be, the bacher canceled last second, and my friend's chef actually, but we had to pay him real money to come. He didn't charge for prepping.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. Because the thing is, when you're throwing, and we're going to do an episode on throwing singles events and Chalvetones.
Oh, we got out of it.
You love it. And like it's the problem is that like singles will not pay more than like somewhere between 300 and 370. That's it. That is the most they're going to go. You're talking about probably 250.
And do you blame
to
them?
350.
Do you blame them?
I don't because I know they're on a budget.
Everyone's
you know?
On a budget.
And we fundraised. We went to every single guy I had on my phone and we got
You guys
come
got
on.
Some funding? You guys got some
we
funding?
We did. No, we did. I mean, put it this way. We with fundraising a lot of money, we still broke even. Wow. I had a free ride. Right. I came for free.
Right.
And like most of the staff came for free. Right. The staff donated their time.
Yeah, no, of course.
It was crazy.
A lot
like
of come for free. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was it. That was it. And now like we're looking to do a different, but we're going to talk about it in another,
the questions
you sent, another episode.
The questions you sent me yesterday.
I think we had, yeah, because I know we have a few more minutes. I wanted to just take a look. Yeah, we got 5 more minutes here. If there was anything else on there. Avery, do we have any sponsors today?
No,
we have some sponsors.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we should do a sponsor for you. You have a little write-up. We'll do.
I mean, Chef Mendy. Follow me on Instagram, Chef Mendy Wolf.
Hey, guys, follow this guy. Follow this cool guy. Follow me, too. I got to change mine to Chef Isaac. No, Podcaster Isaac.
Podcaster
Isaac. Oh, Build a Bias. Rise of Cooks. That's already taken. What's the Build a Bias Instagram? Build a Bias? Avery, you're my
you're
deputy.
Asking me as if I
what?
Know.
That last one.
Oh, yeah. The last one is awesome, no?
I don't understand it.
So basically, well,
I might not answer.
I messed them up. So I wanted to actually say, and this is what we'll leave off, okay?
I was going to ask something else, but okay.
Is food a placebo for physical intimacy? For America's gotten very promiscuous, sexual. And in the Jewish community, I just notice it's like there's more and more food. I like real rabbis, and a few of these rabbis who have been talking, I've been listening, have my ear, are the ones that are saying, if you're like getting high off of like food, like Shabbos day kiddush, right. you're not doing things right. You gotta therapy, whatever. Go for a run.
It's interesting you say this because I actually forgot to add this to the point that I was making earlier. So it's going to answer some of your question, your first question about the rise of different types of food coming into the Jewish world, right? And different types of styles and hiring a private chef. I think the reason it's become such a huge thing is because as Jews, we talk a lot about being loftier. We talk a lot about being on a higher spiritual level, giving in less to our base desires, right? So to kind of answer your question, yeah, food is something that's mutter in the foreign world. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. I mean, if you go out in the world, there's a program called OA, there's food addicts, that's a whole separate story. But food really is a very okay thing. So to be and in the Torah, in Gemara, in the Mizbeach, what do you mean was the Mizbeach was meat, and they would eat the meat and they would offer it up to Hashem, they would eat the meat. Whatever it is, food always, it has been a spiritual thing in some ways, and it is a spiritual thing, it is an emotional thing, but it's also a very okay thing. There's nothing wrong with it inherently. So when a firm Jew, who maybe the guy has other typhus, maybe the guy wants to do other things, and he has a way to give in to Gashmius, okay? He has a way to give in to Gashmius without it being such a bad thing, I guess that's something people could turn to. Yeah, it's like an outlet.
It's an addiction.
It could be an addiction. It could just be an outlet. It could be.
It's an outlet.
Let's say a guy's the type of guy, if he wasn't from and he wasn't doing Daf Yomi at night, what would he be doing? Right, he would be going to the bar every night with his friends. Right?
That's what I
Daf Yomi, by the way, not the people who do Daf Yomi online. Daf Yomi people who go for the shiurim. It's not just about Daf Yomi. It's the camaraderie. It's the people. Right,
getting away from the
going to shul, getting away from life, if you want to put it there. So,
okay.
So when you have the camaraderie, so a guy like that, let's say once in a while he wants to throw a party, right? Mm. From Jews, not going to throw a crazy rave. What'll he do? He'll hire a private chef.
Yeah.
Sit down and chill with some cigars and around the
fire.
That's
what I'm saying.
It's but not a healthy, even just okay outlet. I think it's allowed.
Us rebellious singles will basically say it's not just that. It's not just the rave and then the whatever the Umma Sa'ilam's prostadika into. It's also let's throw a learning party. Bro, you have a family. You have a life. You got wrongs, you got a right. You got rights, you got a wrong. You gotta live your I think I want to say Reb Moshe Feinstein. I don't think it was. Who went to the Appalachian Mountains and one of his like gabayim was like, well, why did the Rav go? And he's like, can you imagine God asking me? How did you not see the Appalachian?
Right. How the Appalachians. Did he not see Breaking Bad either? I don't know. Or Game of Thrones.
Good stuff. Well, I don't want to. The rabbi's a busy man.
You can use the same terminology for like secular things as well.
No.
God created it, so we must indulge, right?
There's certain lines which we all agree.
Psilocybin is a drug. People talk about the consciousness and the highs, right? LSD, MDMA. It's there for a reason. Get people high and get into a spiritual level, for example.
I think the rabbis used to, like back in the day.
Why did we not give it to
every single person has to try every single thing?
Well, right, with that logic,
not every it's
whatever comes
on his level, right?
Yeah.
He keeps himself to. Can we agree that the way he lived his life was probably on a higher spiritual level than us? I mean,
yeah, definitely,
not again, probably,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
yo, bro.
Can we agree?
Got that on
can
me?
We agree that probably the combination of him learning and him, he obviously didn't watch movies. He obviously didn't see a lot of secular stuff. Can we agree that kept him on a spiritual high?
I definitely kept him on some sort of...
It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
Some sort of...
Him.
It's not for psychological everybody. High, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
So for him, giving in to Gashmias, not even giving in, but appreciating Gashmias, is only going to hit a certain level. He doesn't have to go do something crazy. Hey, listen, I'm no LOR. It's my personal hashkav. My personal hashkav is my birthday, actually, in 2 days. My personal hashkav.
Oh, get... Bro, we have the same birthday.
September 3rd?
I'm the 5th, okay. September 5th.
Virgos, baby. Go over. We should talk about that.
You should come on. We're going to do an episode with that stuff.
Okay.
But finish up.
Yep.
So we're here on this world, right, there's a million reasons. I was just listening to Rabbi Akiva Tatz in the car, actually.
Oh, he's the best.
He is so fascinating. Yeah. But there's so many reasons. Some people say, oh, it's only one reason we're just here to serve Hashem. There's serving Hashem. There's growth. There's bringing joy to the world. Hashem created this world for a reason. He needs us here. There's nuances to why we're here.
Yeah.
To say that Hashem doesn't want us to enjoy this world is crazy. If someone says...
Shemu for Shemu fine.
Oh, sorry. My assistant's calling me.
go ahead. If someone says, I'm not going to enjoy this world at all, again, I think it's crazy.
Right.
I personally don't see why Hashem would put him on this world to not enjoy a single iota of what the physical world is. Now, everyone has their own levels, but that's kind of where cooking and private chefing comes in.
It's, yes.
There's a certain amount of that going on where it is... If a person has the money and they're doing good things with their money and they're taking care of the kids and they're giving tzedakah, spend a little money on private chef. Spend a little money on private chef. Indulge
Mendy,
a little
you're
bit.
You're a hedonist. I see.
I know. I like to think I'm a pretty like middle of the road type of guy.
Uh-huh. I think you are. And I mean, that's I what think, stuck out to me. Yeah.
I think there's a certain most of the things that are missing from everything we do, and something I struggle with, is having just a fine balance, a happy medium. I met a guy, this is actually a non-Jewish guy. I met a guy, so it's part of a therapy program I did.
He used look to at me when you say non-Jewish. You
know? I don't know why I'm talking to you about this, but
I'm kidding.
He
as if I'm not Jewish.
You seem more open to these things.
Like, yeah.
He used this word equanimity. No, the big words confuse him. He used this word equanimity.
Yeah.
And he used to describe something about a sailboat. And there's a sailboat in the wind, and the sailboat's going from one side to the other, to the other, to the other. And there's the keel. It's called even keeled, right?
Yin and the yang, man.
There's the middle, which we're always constantly should be aiming for. The point is not to aim crazy high. The point is to aim for the best of one part, best of the other part, the best of the other part, and you have a happy medium.
Right.
Here's my psychological gold for
you. I love it. Well, no, Mendy, appreciate the words he had to say. You're fervent about this.
I'm a passionate guy. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to become a private chef if I didn't have passion.
You have to have it today.
You have to want to work like a dog sometimes.
I know. I only know from this one little event that I did, but we're going to get to the closing right after this. Thanks for joining us. Episode 81 is in the books. Food, family, and guilt here.
We didn't discuss the guilt.
I know. Well, you'll come back for part two.
We're going to have me back.
Chef Mendy Wolf. Mendy, where can the people find you should they want more information on you?
Do people give out their personal phone numbers on here?
No, like Instagram, email. Right?
I'm on Facebook, Mendy Wolf. I'm on Instagram, Chef Mendy Wolf.
Nice.
If you probably message me on Instagram and you'd like to follow my WhatsApp status also, where I post a little more in my Instagram status, you can DM me. My stuff on Instagram.
Life it, baby. All right. As I usually end off, happy face, smiley face, silly face. This is the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast. Hey, everybody. It's IJ from the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast. I want to take a moment to tell you about our new affiliate program. Inflation's up, some economic problems. Here you go. Here's a few bucks off on your businesses or personal life or just for fun. I wanted you to take a look at shouldapodcast.com under affiliates, where you can get 10% off for starting your first website, a few bucks for your graphics created with Canva, or just hire someone to do this with Fiverr. Check this out at shouldapodcast.com and click the affiliates link.
Alchi's Media Network.